show. Is it a sandwich? If I called a hot dog a sandwich, do you think that you'd be fine with it? If not, then why? Let's bust this wide. Mary, Carrie, Kelly, Matt, oh my, is a sandwich? Well, let's decide.
All right, everybody. Mom and Dad, Matt and Mary are out. It's the kids, Kelly and Carrie, on this episode of Order Up. And in true dumb style, we love the way Matt starts the show, but he always provides some ridiculous banter. I'm going to start this off with a joke. What do you call a vegan hot dog? A carrot. You call it a carrot. It's Order Up, everybody.
Oh, my.
I'm in charge of the button today.
You get Matt's toys and everything. And now that, this is so exciting. Jeez.
I should use that for the joke. Let's do it again. What do you call a vegan hot dog?
What do you call a vegan hot dog?
A carrot. There we go. There's
okay,
a slice.
You feel better? Okay.
Alrighty. It's fine. Oh, friends, it's episode 9 of season 10 of Order Up. Kelly Zemnikas is here. Carrie Haim is here. And because, as I say, mom and daughter out, we are going to incorporate our guest in the banter off the top. I may as well introduce you to our guest so he doesn't just come out of nowhere. I'm going to say, friends, usually when I provide everybody with a bit of a bio of who's going to be on the show, I'll go to their website and I'll read it because they wrote it on their website. Friends, I just got sad after I read our guest bio because I was like, what have I done in my life? I got sad and I cried for half an hour. No, our guest today, an award-winning cartoonist, an author, a comedian. He's been on a Food Network show with Buddy the Cake Boss.
Love him.
He's just cool. And he's from Australia, so he's part of the Commonwealth. Yay. And as Canadians, we welcome him in. It's Jason Chatfield on the show, everybody.
Yay. Hey, gang. How are we doing? Thanks for having
good.
Me.
Oh, my this God, awesome. Jason, you've got a bio. Like, you've done some shit. It's impressive.
I mean, I've distracted myself from getting a real job, if that's what you mean. Sure.
It's pretty great. Your work's appeared in The New Yorker, Variety, Mad Magazine, Esquire. And we need to know, what is the deal with this Trivial Pursuit question you are part of? The Asian Pacific edition. What's the question?
I'm a Trivial Pursuit answer, I think.
That's cool.
Which is like, you know, life goals unlocked. Yeah. I used to do, for about 16 years, I did a syndicated newspaper comic strip, and it was like the Peanuts of Australia. It was like a big comic strip. And so in the Asia Pacific, it was very big, you know. So it was called Ginger Megs, and it was asking about who is the cartoonist for Ginger Megs.
That is awesome.
Yeah, in America, it's a little less known, so, you know.
That's so cool, though. I love that.
That is super cool. Now, Carrie, you've got a famous sibling. Have you ever appeared as a trivia question or an answer?
Me, no. My brother has appeared as not maybe in a Trivial Pursuit, but a lot of crosswords. There's a lot of crossword puzzles.
That's my next goal.
Yeah, that's an admirable goal. So he has been, and then whenever there is one, a friend will like take a picture and send it to me and show me that he was a clue.
Well, Jason, as a cartoonist, I mean, why don't you make your own crossword?
I mean, I could. I actually, there was a comedian who was an answer in this morning's New York Times crossword. I can try to remember who it is now. And I remember seeing it going, boy, that's a nice, that must feel nice. You know, they must be getting a lot of texts this morning from, hey, look, you're in the crossword.
That it is cool.
A cool goal. Yeah.
It is cool.
It doesn't count if you do it yourself. If you put yourself in one, it doesn't really count.
I'll say you could make your crossword and all the answers are you, but all the questions are different and they all have
to
intersect.
That sounds like a good birthday gift.
It does, actually.
Like
one of those things that people do with a Scrabble letters, you know?
Yeah. That's a good idea. You might
Thank
have something
Jason.
There.
Yeah, that is a good idea. That is bringing up some a secret, which is now not going to be a secret, but I don't know if either of you did this in your high school yearbooks, like what you were going to become, like, you know, future projections. I wrote mine. Nobody wrote it for me. I wrote mine and they published mine because I guess no one else had one for me.
What was it?
Yeah.
I predicted that I was going to take over ownership of a comedy club here called Yuck Yucks.
Oh.
And I did that
long before I became a stand-up.
Oh.
Wow.
It's still possible then.
But I was the one who wrote it.
So like other people were supposed to write it based on your personality and stuff, and like they were guessing what you would do.
Yeah.
It sounds like a threat. It's like you were just...
Oh, man. Well, we are going to threaten everybody with some fun hot dog facts on today's show and some questions.
Yes.
Carrie, you were put in charge of the factoids for today's episode.
I was. And in honor of Australia, our cousins from down under, we have an Australian fact, which are bonkers and hilarious. I love like Australian words for things. They're always super fun. So this is fact number one. In Australia, hot dogs or sausage sizzles are a popular food, often served at events like sporting venues and kids' parties. But a unique Australian twist is the Dagwood dog or Pluto pup or the Dippy dog, which is a sausage on a stick dipped in batter and deep fried.
It's like a corn dog, but yeah.
But it sounds – have you had one?
I have. They usually are like school fêtes and fairs and carnivals and things, yeah.
It sounds good.
No, they sound good.
Good.
They don't sound good coming out, I'll tell you that
no,
much.
That's, they sound good, but I feel like it would cause you like a really bad stomach ache later. But it, I love all the Dagwood, the Pluto pup, the Dippy dog. It's so fun. They all sound like cartoon characters, actually.
Yeah, Australians are nothing if not good at alliteration. And
yes.
Now, I have to ask, Jason, would you ever put Marmite on a hot dog?
Oh,
no, I put Vegemite on one, maybe, but not Marmite. Marmite's British, Vegemite's Australian. But the thing is, if you wanted to put, I mean, it's basically fermented yeast extract. That's what Vegemite is. If you put it on a hot dog, you gotta, I mean, that's the kind of thing you eat if your taste buds have been obliterated. I like eating like hot ones, too many hot ones. Or something. It's just, you don't have any taste buds anymore.
I don't know. It's, Have you had it, Kel?
I have had Marmite. I've not had Vegemite.
Okay.
I am not a fan, but I was told recently that I've been using too much of it and I have to be quite lean with the Marmite or Vegemite should I ever have it again.
That's the trick.
Well, I have one more fact, and I'm curious to see what you guys think about this fact. While Americans generally prefer mustard, Canadians overwhelmingly favor ketchup as their hot dog topping, their top hot dog topping. Are you in agreement with that, Kelly?
Listeners, I am smiling so brightly because I am, yes, I'm almost 50, but internally I'm 12. And I put ketchup on everything, Carrie. Eggs, hot dogs. Jason's nodding. Do you do that too?
Yes, everything. It's ridiculous.
Like the best.
I'll have ketchup on fries. It's not even my first choice. Like I'm a vinegar girl like we do in Canada. Okay. But mustard on a hot dog all the way. Mustard. And I don't like to think that I'm kind of American, but mustard.
I like both.
Would you have them together?
Of course.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Just no relish.
No relish, okay.
No relish, yeah. You're
like I mean, pickles, but I don't like relish. I don't know why.
I guess it's just the context. Also, there's like an umami thing, you know, with a hot dog where it's like you've already got the perfect combo of the meat and the sausage and the bun, and if you add extra texture, it's like it's a hat on a hat.
I love it. A hat on a bun.
Yeah.
Now, a third fact I need to add, because Jason told me this off camera.
Oh, yeah.
And listeners, we do not let people know ahead of time, like, what the subject's going to be. We just give them an idea of the episode and what we the general things we talk about. We don't, oh, I know this person really. Jason, tell us your association with the, what, the sausage sizzle?
Sausage sizzle. Yes. Sausage is that alliteration sizzle. Again?
Yeah.
Well.
You're connected somehow.
Yeah. My dad owned a cafeteria in a hardware store when I was growing up. And it was like the equivalent, it was called Bunnings. It's the equivalent of like Lowe's or something, mm-hmm. I guess, okay. in America. And part of that is part of hot dogs, sausage sizzle culture in Australia is that you always get one when you go to the hardware store. There's always a hot dog stand out front of the hardware store. It's just part of the culture. Everyone, it doesn't matter what state or city you're in, every hardware store out front is a sausage sizzle. And it used to just be on the weekends, but then it became so profitable, just like all the time. Wow. So any tradesman, like an electrician or plumber, whatever, during the week, they get very fat because they just go to the hardware store all the time. It's like most of their meals involve a bun of some like or a meat. So my first job in high school and after high school was selling hot dogs out the front of a hardware store, out the front of Bunnings for hours and hours, not 10 hours at a time. Every day. Really? Yeah, that was my job.
Huh. Wow. Did you have a way to hook them in? Did you have a pitch?
The smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sort of, here's the other piece. You don't like relish. Here's what we did put on them. We did saute onions. That was the big thing. The smell of the onions would get people salivating as they walked past. Yeah,
for sure.
And that would get them sort of, oh, okay. And then that would lure them over. And then we'd be cooking all day long. But I'd get back in the car after a long day and just stink of just like onions and sausage spittle, you know, and like just oil and grease because we had to clean it, you know. And so it would be, it started as just like, oh, I'll fill in for someone. And then my dad was like, do you want to do this full time? And it was like $7 an hour. Mm-hmm. And in the stinking hot Australian sun. And I didn't go to college. I didn't have any other real things. I was going to be a cartoonist. I'd sit and draw people, you know, all day
while
I was like turning the sausages. And then I got all my friends to come and work there because they all needed like petrol money and fuel money. And so, yeah, all my friends who were all like actors and musicians and comedians and stuff would all work at this. It's like a pay-to-wait job. You know, it's like everyone, you know, actors and artists end up just doing these, you know, side hustles. So that was my job for years. Wow. Like I did it way too long. Like I should have just done it in high school. I just kept doing it after I graduated. Everyone went to college. I just went to Bunnings.
So Jason, when you were making all those hot dogs, do you guys grill them in Australia or are they in like water, like in New York or something?
Well, they're certainly not in water like New York because there's nothing like that. And I would dare say that's not water at this point. I don't think we're allowed to call it that.
That's true. That's
a chemical compound of some kind. No, we grill them. We grill them on the hot, you know, the grill. And that's why they taste so good. And there's that sweet spot we have to find between, you know, burning it to a crisp and, you know, and it being giving you salmonella.
That's a good spot to be in. I'd like to go more towards the crispy side if I had to choose. Mm. Yeah.
Salmonella, the gift keep giving everyone. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh my.
This is the difference, by the way, between America and like because I've been in America for 11 years, and I always say, you know, people always ask about these funny little things that Australians do that it's just slightly different, like cooking them on the grill instead of putting them in hot water, like those, you know, hot dogs. And it is nothing gets people more animated than food. Like nothing gets people more upset than those little differences. I always say like Australians were like Canadians with a criminal record where, you know, it's just a bunch of convicts down there messing everything up, doing everything our own way. Mm-hmm. Just upsetting everybody.
Well, we grill ours up here too. Toronto, as we call it, street meat. Toronto street meat is like awesome. And now that you mentioned that whole thing about the carts being in front, the Canadian Tire that I go to, don't you see them there, Kelly?
So Canadian Tire is like our Lowe's or I can't think of any other American stores right now, but there's a Canadian Tire at Yonge and Davenport, I think. They've got a hot dog cart outside of them.
There's a few around, and now that I think about it, they all have a hot dog cart in front of them.
Yeah.
Don't you think it'll make a great sitcom? Like, I know they shoot everything in Toronto anyway, so why wouldn't they do, like, a sitcom that's, like, a refillable, like, with people working at a hot dog cart out front of a hardware store? That'd be,
so
like, a fun sitcom.
Wouldn't that be good? We should make that. Yeah.
Ooh, you should make that. Happen.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. We're Canadians, though.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
All righty. Well, we're going to make you answer five and a half. That's me doing an accent. I can't do accents at all. But we've got questions for you, Jason. Carrie is going to ask them. So,
and I hope you're ready, Jason. Came. Here we go. Okay. What is the best sandwich?
Wow. The best sandwich?
Ever in the whole world. Yes.
Huge call. Controversial.
Yes.
Topic, I know. And I have listened to other episodes of the show, so I know what other people say.
And, thank you.
My favorite sandwich of all time, and it is a sandwich. It's not a roll. It's not a hot dog. It's not a bun. It's not a pizza. It's not a burger. It is a sandwich. It is. I used to work at a print shop, and next door there was this place that had a sandwich called the Tuna Tease.
Okay.
T-E-A-S-E, Tuna Tease. It was like tuna salad with cream cheese.
Oh.
Ooh.
Pineapple, I know. Yeah, that was the big, and some lettuce, a little bit of red onion, and it was the most mouthwatering, satisfying, perfect texture, flavor, satisfying food, mix of protein and carbs and everything. It was fantastic. Best tuna tease, and you can only get it there. And then I went back recently, like a couple of years ago, and the whole place is closed down, so I can't get it anymore. Can't get it.
Huh.
Unless we make it.
Unless, right.
You can make it.
And that's interesting. I've never heard of, especially with the cream cheese. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah. The cream cheese is the best. Oh,
well,
my God.
Maybe you would like this the thing coming up in the next question.
Okay.
So Kelly is a crack researcher, and she found this thing on the internet. Okay, would you eat a pineapple mayo sandwich?
Yeah, you lost me at mayo. If it was cream cheese, maybe.
That is interesting. Okay.
Yeah, listeners. No.
The thing is, you would think the pineapple would make the bread all soggy.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I don't know what they do. Like, they definitely dab it with a paper towel or something like that. But it doesn't, like, it's like a bad tomato sandwich, and it makes it all soggy.
But
for some reason,
it was fresh pineapple, right? Like, it wasn't like grilled pineapple.
Fresh pineapple.
Huh. Interesting.
Huh.
Mm. All right. We got to try it, Kelly. Right. Got to try it.
Mm. By we, you mean me, right?
Yeah, yeah, you.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
I'll do it. I love food.
Maybe Matt, too. Matt would do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Mm. This is a true or false. True or false, Toronto's Winter Garden Theatre had its walls cleaned using raw bread dough during its reopening.
Oh, well, I know at the Louvre, in Paris, they were talking about restoring old recovered paintings from like shipwrecks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that was to use white bread, like Wonder Bread.
Oh.
And they would like bunch it up and then like dab it like a sponge to pull away the whatever it was without removing the paint. So whatever enzymes are in the bread, they chemically only pull out the grime or whatever the thing is, and then whatever the paints what would you call it that you make paint from? The paint stuff, paint? The dust that you make paint with. I don't know. I should know. There's some artist, but I don't know. So actually, that sounds true. That sounds true to me. Because especially there was like nicotine and tar and stuff from when people were smoking in there. That would make sense. Yeah.
Kelly, you want to take this one?
Why bother? Jason just answered it.
Yeah.
It's true.
It sounds true.
It is true.
It's 100% true. Yeah. It's one of the most beautiful theaters I have ever been in. It's the last operational double-decker theater in the world. So there's a theater on a theater. The Elgin's on the bottom. The Winter Garden's on top. And the top one was closed for just ages. Mm-hmm. And when they when the government bought the building to restore it and they opened it up, they used Wonder Bread.
Yeah, that's amazing. That someone figured that out. Like, who figured that out? I don't know.
Yeah, someone dropped their sandwich on a painting one time. They're like, oh my God.
Ooh, oh, it's so much glitter. And they were like, yeah.
Oh. No, some bored six-year-old who was like helping out mom and dad inadvertently.
Don't
know. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he did really well on the true or false. We're going to do another true or false. Yeah.
So, pigment, by the way, pigment was the word.
Pigment. There we go. Yeah. Okay, true or false. Subway's most popular sub, the Italian BMT, is named after a literal subway line.
BMT?
BMT.
Mm-hmm. What's the sandwich?
That's what it's called. It's called the Italian BMT.
Italian BMT.
Yeah.
So does it go to Queens? So I know the ACE and the BQE and the LARR and I guess the 123 and the NQR, F, mm-hmm. You know what? I don't know. I wonder what it would stand for.
Where does the N and the Q, and where does that one go, Jason?
The NQR kind of does a wonky, weird... It's one of the strange ones that does like a weird CL wonky shape.
I just want to get you to answer this one too. I'm trying to like.
I mean, I want to say Subway started as a New York sandwich shop, and it had a bunch of different. It named the sandwiches after a bunch of different local Subway things. I think isn't that the whole? Well, not necessarily New York, but like train based Subway based things. I mean, I want to say yes, but I don't know why.
Okay.
I just need to say.
I mean, yes is my answer. Yeah.
I think of everyone this season, these are the most intricate answers to a true or false.
I agree.
I'm long-winded.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
It is? What does it stand for?
So it stands for the Brooklyn Manhattan Transit Line, which does not exist anymore, but it is now known as like the N, the Q. So it's that line. There's one stop. I took a picture of it when I was last there where it says Brooklyn Manhattan Transit.
Oh, cool.
And that's what it's named after.
Brooklyn Manhattan Transit. So it was just one, it just went between the island and Brooklyn.
I guess it was the name because if I'm right in this, and I don't know if I'm exactly right, different companies owned different subway lines in New York at one point. And so the BMT was a line that was, I think, operational until the late 40s or early 50s. Mm-hmm. And then it got renamed something else.
I went to the New York Transit Museum at Grand Central recently because they had a bunch of New Yorker cartoons about transit, about trains.
Okay.
And I did read about a lot of this stuff, but I didn't even realize that they were owned privately at any point. That seems they probably would have run on time back then in that case.
It's a better subway line than the Toronto one. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
Oh, really? No. I don't know.
Have you ever been here?
No, I've heard stories of the
Toronto. And we will put that to the test when you visit.
Yeah, you should come visit. Yeah.
You should come visit.
Yes. Well, we might have to drive you around, but come, yeah.
Yeah, right. I'll rent a car. And that's, you know. Yeah.
Okay, right. This is the question of the season, my friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, considering your past, you have a very knowledgeable answer and opinion. Here we go. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, wow. Well, wow. I mean, you really asked the difficult questions.
I know.
Me too.
Hard-hitting journalism here.
Hard-hitting. Yeah, this is real 60 Minutes stuff.
I know.
Are we going to get sued for editing this wrong? I think maybe I'm going to have to say, purely on the basis of the fact that I'm already incensed that Americans call hamburger sandwiches, I'm going to say no, because a sandwich is a sandwich.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It's a sandwich.
Yeah.
And every time I sit down on a menu, like sit down to lunch, see a menu, it says sandwiches. I'm like, oh, great, I'll have a sandwich. And they bring a burger. I'm like, this is a burger.
Right.
There are words and they mean things. Otherwise, what is anything?
Right.
So I'm going to say no, a hot dog. You can call it a sausage sizzle. You can call it a democracy sausage, which is what they call it in Australia, by the way. When to get people to vote, voting is mandatory in Australia. Is it the same in Canada?
No, it should be, but no.
So you get fined if you don't vote.
That's a good idea.
The jury's out. I don't know if that's a good thing, by the way.
Okay.
So to entice people even further, other than punishment, they give people, they call them democracy sausage. They give them a sausage sizzle at their voting, at their polling places. And those are voluntary organizations like, you know, PTA groups and stuff.
Wow.
Democracy sausage, yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
The double D.
So we have a no. We have a no. All right. We have a bonus question for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The bonus question is, what the hell is in a hot dog? That's the bonus.
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to, I don't want to say swear, it's a dirty word, but my uncle used to be a butcher. And I would ask him literally how the sausage is made.
So you know.
And he wouldn't tell me. He wouldn't tell me what's in it. He would just say, he'd have like a joke answer, which now I've realized is just his version of the word awful. But he used to, I'd say, what's in sausages? And he'd go, lips and assholes.
Right.
And yeah. So,
he's had that answer before.
That was all he could ever tell me. It's kind of like whatever's left is in the sausage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think we're meant to know.
No, I agree.
I think it's one of those things like, what is heaven like? What is in a hot dog?
Yeah, that's the same thing.
It's very similar, yeah. That's so funny.
What is heaven, heaven like? What's in a hot dog? You know what? No one needs to know.
No one needs to know.
Because what if heaven is lips and assholes? What if it's also just whatever meat is in?
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's just meat. Heaven is just meat. Wrapped in cow skin or some weird membrane.
Ew.
Heavenly. I can just see Homer Simpson up there.
Heavenly hot dogs. Yeah. A little cart out the front of the heaven hot dogs.
You need to draw this, Jason.
Yeah, I'm getting an image in my head already.
Me too.
It's very vivid.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're just here to provide fodder for your work.
I need it.
Oh, gosh. What a delight. All right. Well, with Jason's answer. Okay. So, yes is still in the lead. But they are now only 2 points in the lead. If by some miracle somebody can switch a team on episode 10 or our episode 10 guest says we could end in a tie.
Well, I did flip, right? I was a
you
no.
You did flip.
And one of our guests convinced me, which has never happened in 10 seasons. I flipped.
Fellow Australian, Jason.
Yeah. Fellow Australian.
And Ben Golan. He runs a Man and His Sandwich New York walking tours.
Oh, okay.
You know fantastic. This? You know, you have to beat
you
Ben.
You need to take it. We need the two Aussies on the tour.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, he's very fun. He's really cool. And you get to eat delicious sandwiches.
Wrong, but anyway.
So I'll have to think about it for next episode.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, man. This has been a good one. Jason, where can folks find you to get your newsletter, to maybe see you do stand-up, get some insight into how to win a New York cartoon caption contest? Where can they find you?
Well, there's no resource for that. best place is New York Cartoons. Just one word, New York, not NY, just newyorkcartoons.com. New York Cartoons. I'm New York Cartoons on Instagram and newyorkcartoons.com. That's my Substack. That's, you know, it's a newsletter. I do, you know, podcasts and cartoons about living in New York. I send out free, New Yorker cartoons to your inbox, and I talk about when I'm going to be doing stand-up and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, newyorkcartoons.com.
Sounds good.
There we go. All righty, listeners. Well, that's been episode 9.
Too much fun for Kelly.
Order Up is hosted and produced by Matt Ardill,
Mary Kennedy,
Larry Hayne,
Kelly Zemeckis.
And original music is by Rebecca McDonald.